Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to the Goldmine Magazine podcast. This is Pat Prince, editor of Goldmine. And we're proud to have as guests Kelly Decco on Decco Entertainment Records. I love saying that. Decco on Decco.
Yeah, Decco on Decco, right?
And Val Garay, a famous producer. I mean, we could go back, great artists that you produced, but my audience probably knows that already. But what I want to get to first is how you guys first connected creatively. Because Val, you know, you've been in the music industry, and then Kelly has been in the film industry as a pretty much a art production, right, Kelly?
And yeah. But he started out making music, you know, back in the late 70s, he was making music then.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been making music with a good friend of Val since then, and we recorded, his name's Nick Tenbrook, and I made a lot of recordings with him. And then that's why when this record came around to do again, I was talking with Nick Tenbrook, and I said, God, I really want to get that, you know, Andrew Gold 70s sound. And he said, well, you know, I'm working with Val Garay, and he practically invented that sound, and we'll see if he might be interested. And sure enough, he was, and then the rest, you know, is here we are. But I'm here to tell you, this man knows what he's doing. It's not by chance that he has that many that many platinum and gold records and Grammys. This man knows exactly what he's doing. And if you're looking for some of the best sonic, whatever you're getting at, he can get it because he hears it. And I don't know where people get that. I guess it's like an athlete who can just keep doing it over and over again, and you always wonder why. Well, he's one of those. He probably hates me to say it over and again, but it's one of those things that I learned, because a lot of people think they can make their own record and, you know, go ahead and make it at home. It's the same. Everything's the same. We can sample it. But it's not that way at all. If you really, it's like with writing. I spent my whole life writing to get to where I can actually make sense and be of some sort of, you know, caliber where it's worth making a record of. And so I think the whole thing grew to the point of where maybe I was ready to finally work with someone like Val. And then luckily he came along, and you know, here we are. I think it's a great record because I wrote great songs, but also because he had the ability to make a great sounding record. And so after that, you know, everything goes from there. The artists later on, we hired a great album cover artist, Johannes. Mm-hmm. Of course, now we're with a good PR company, Chipster. And of course, you mentioned Decco Records, which is a great legacy record with a lot of classic rock idol bands, you know, that are behind it.
Yeah, I wasn't surprised. The production is top notch. In fact, it reminds me of Val, the quality of ELO, and I mean that as a huge compliment.
Absolutely.
Because futuristic, you know, that I think that was important to you, Kelly, right?
Yes, sir.
Wanted to capture that futuristic feel. I mean,
I did.
That works within your narrative.
Yep.
And like I told you before, the narrative, well, you've worked in Hollywood and it has that sort of futuristic theatrical feel to
it's real. I've lived through it. The thing, I've seen things that, I mean, they could imagine it, but I've been through it, and I've been through it so many times. And I live in Hollywood. Right. I go to work and it's on a soundstage. I go to work and there's movie sets and actors and lighting. And yeah. And then of course, like Val was saying, I've made a lot of records. I've recorded 6 or 7 records with the same producers and stuff. Again, you know, the songs have always been pretty good, but you know, you grow up and you get better. You get better and better as long as you stay alive, I think.
Please.
Hopefully. And then, you know, and then I think this is a great time. I was really Maybe not until now I would even be qualified to work with someone like Val, but here it is, and now we're talking about it. So I'm never gonna not say thank you to Val, because his expertise made what I was doing in my imaginary Hollywood, you know, world, fantasy world, it made it something viable. And that's what's really in the heart of what makes it work for me, and why I'm so appreciative of the whole experience. Yeah. And we are. So, yeah.
Val, Kelly seems like a very approachable, nice guy. And, you know, sometimes in the music world, you have prima donnas. How was the, you guys worked well together as far as.
It was very easy, smooth production experience. He was prepared. I always am prepared, and we moved right through it. We cut everything in about 5 days, and then did some overdubs. That took another couple weeks, and then mixed it, which took another week or two, and then it was done. But it was a very smooth process, very professional, and all great people involved, you know?
Right. Well, you got Fernando Perdomo, who is, you know, kind of a wunderkind himself. I mean, he...
Oh, yeah.
Kind of a great producer,
great guitar player. You know, he's a great, great guitar player for that style of music. You couldn't do better, you know.
Yeah, he seems to pop up all over the place now. Whether
yeah,
he's
really,
guitar playing, production, he's pretty much a hit right now. He does his own albums, so
mm-hmm.
And he's, like I said, he's a pretty good producer himself. You know, compared to all the people you've produced, you mentioned being ready and willing to work. Who was the best you can compare to as far as ready and willing to work? A big name.
I would say along those lines, probably Neil Diamond. You know, he was always ready, had the songs written, had the arrangements, you know, pretty well thought out in his head, you know, pretty prepared guy for as big an artist as he was, you know. And I worked with Neil for 10 years, you know, I did some big records with him.
That was
I even got nominated for an Emmy with Neil Diamond, which I didn't win, but I got nominated anyway.
I was comparing Kelly to a cross between, well, he references David Bowie in one of his songs, but futuristic feel David Bowie, right? But in theatrical,
right,
sort of lyric feel, I said Meatloaf.
I always said to people that asked me what kind of record and artist he was, and I always said it was a cross between David Bowie, Meatloaf, and the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Ah. So I wasn't far off in coming up with my little comparison.
No. not at all. But that's good though, because it if you got it, then that imprint is there, you know.
Right. Kelly, are those two of your influences right there?
Absolutely. I think I've seen Rocky Horror Picture Show at least 100 times, and and all the other, you know, it was part of my culture I grew up in. And yeah, you could go further, you could bring the Moody Blues in, or you could bring Van Morrison. I mean, but yes, but very much the Meatloaf thing, the Battle of Hell, those are Jim Steinman songs, but absolutely, I love the songs. I love the visual, the power in them. When you listen to Battle of Hell, you learn what a rock opera is. A rock show is. You learn rock show. A friend of mine plays drums in a band called The Tubes, and I always liked what they were doing. That show, rock show, was always a part of what I liked, and also songs that bring out some sort of a visual experience.
Fee Waybill is a Bay Area boy, as am I, you know.
There you go.
I remember when it started, you know, I grew up in the Bay Area in the 60s, so yeah. I saw the airplane when they used to play intermissions at the Committee with Signy was the singer. Yeah. And they didn't even have a drummer, they had a conga player.
Well, you know, Prairie Prince was a drummer. He says that he did a you did a record with him or something. I know one of the records he had done. I don't. Yeah, I mean, you've done so many.
Yeah, really.
Yeah,
anyway, you guys, I'm gonna have to jet because I'm late for another meeting that I completely misconstrued this. So can you guys carry on from here?
Yeah, Val, it's an honor. Thank you for popping in. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Well, you guys have a great day.
Thank you, Val. Appreciate now. It. Thank you.
So, Kelly, when I said ELO, is that?
Oh, yeah. No, of course. Oh, ELO is brilliant. I mean, it's, well, that's why, you know, Paul McCartney and always loved ELO and all the, you know, the stuff they were doing is very similar to Beatles. Beatles, one thing about this record I've done with Val, as they say, it's got like a sparkle to it, you know, so that's the same idea. It's kind of, the songs kind of sparkle a little bit. The Beatles did that. Of course, ELO did do that.
Yeah, certainly.
I mean, the production's great. The songs are interesting. You know, they're not too far out there. I think I go a little further out there than they do in some of the songs. And but again, it's, my experience is different than theirs. And like you said, I come from Hollywood. I've been in Hollywood. I've worked on, you know, some amazing, interesting, huge variety of movies, and watch the process, and watch, and been with the directors, and hung out, and gone to the parties, and you know, I don't want to reveal too much of that, but there's a lot of, you know, some of the directors, the first thing they do is set up a big room for screening, and that you get to watch the movie being made by, right. We get to watch what they call the dailies, and that room would be, and a couple of directors would be filled with cases of wine. So you're invited to go and have wine and hang out and give your input to the movie. And so, I mean, so you're treated like a part of a team, a part of the vision of whatever is happening. And I love it. And I also love making records. And like I say, when I make a record, I write all the songs first and they come to me. And then after that, I go one by one and just let the universe tell me what the song's about, and then I write it down. So this record, I started off by writing one song. The first song was called Turn It On, and I wrote that song with all the music. And when I write it on an acoustic guitar. I've got an old guitar that I bumped into B.B. King on the right way, and he had autographed saying, yeah, stay with it. So I thought, okay, I better stay with it and keep writing. And with this old clunky Fender F-15 guitar, so I write the songs, and it's kind of like a Burke Bacharach, like two note melodies over, you know, down and then changes. So there's definitely a melody. If you listen to all the songs, just straight ahead a melody, you get it right away. Like, you know, don't sleep in the subway, right? Those kind of simple melodies through all of these songs. So those melodies are there first, and then they're done. And then I write the song, and then I go to the next one. And so sooner or later, I had over 30 songs. Because I would take it to my pianist, a classical pianist I work with, and he and I would just run the song down until we got it one time, and we just recorded on a little iPad, a digital, you know, sound of it, and that would be it. And so then I'd go back and I'd put all the words on, and then we'd get the band together, and that's how we made the record. So it had to sound, the songs had to be sonic to begin with, so they were already musical songs. And then the words fit that. I think the Beatles, Paul McCartney said, or maybe both Paul McCartney and John Lennon said, that's how they did it. Where you find, you know, we know this, what the one song, something, what's it called? Ham and eggs, scrambled eggs became yesterday or whatever. So you find that there's the melody is there, and then the words come to you. For me, the words just came out of thin air. You know, I study a lot about things I like. Just like most people do on movies, there's a lot of research in your mind. And after this many years, it's just sitting there waiting for me to pull, you know, pull the trigger on it. And so when I did pull the trigger on this, I've been through a lot of things, divorces and marriages and death and, you know, this and that. And so there's a lot to flow out, and it just came flowing out. I got back with the girl I was in my high school sweetheart, her name's Tracy. And so whenever I think about how men, myself as a man, have a hard time writing about what love is, so whenever I have to bring that love idea around, I just put my mind on her, and that's it. So it's a natural, honest approach to love, because it's
that real. What is that, what Waiting for the Girl is, the
yeah, is sure that there's that one, and there's also the song Constellation, you know, the songs talk about, yeah. Yeah, that, I think Waiting for the Girl is the strongest kind of pop song we have on it. And in some place in Scotland has been playing it over and over again. So that's good for them. Yeah. And, you know, they're all legitimate, real songs about things that I feel. So mm-hmm. that isn't that easy to do. Or as a writer, isn't it that easy to get to the point where you can even do that without, because most people think, oh, how do I just, you know, I'm just going to fake this or do that or pick some ideas. But that doesn't really work. As hard as it is, it needs to be real to you. And when it is real to you, to me as the writer, then it works. And that's what Val was saying, said these all work because I can see these are real. Right. And so it's a big step, but it makes you feel vulnerable. And many times during the process, I would break down and cry during the song. I'm thinking, what's wrong with you? What's going on? And it's because it hit a real emotional chord in me. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what it hits on other people when you're able to do that. And I think that drives a lot of artists into weird places in their lives. So because it gets what they call painful, and you think, well, how could a song be painful? Because a real artist is writing about their own real heart feelings, and right. heart feelings, they hurt. Even they can be as stupid as anything you can imagine, you know, theoretically. But if that person, if it's something that they felt deep and it hurt them in some weird way, or it struck a chord with them in some way, it can be painful. And then as a singer, I learned that that's a good thing. When you get that, reach for it. And when I was reaching for that in a few songs, I got an extra kind of interesting weird vibrato in my voice. I'm thinking, this is really cool. Let's just go with this, or whatever it was. I just ran with it. And having Val there, and I'm recording on the same, you know, microphone that, you know, James Taylor and then the Ronstadt. You're thinking, okay, you're standing in big shoes, you know, do something, right?
it's interesting because I think Waiting for the Girl is the single. It's very commercially accessible. Yeah. It starts out with a nice Eagles guitar sound, and then it kicks in into high gear with the chorus, and it's very catchy.
Yeah.
So that, did you think of that as the single off the album?
Different people think different things. I know Valgrey has his opinion, and what I decided to do was, I know there's several, because a lot of them are poppy songs.
Yep.
It's always a thing, like how you want to go too poppy or not too poppy, right? That one is the most poppy, singly-ish one. When they start playing it overseas, the gentleman who played it says, well, this is just the most commercial one. He just said, I'm playing it.
And
he just picked it on his own. So there you go. I think that's left for the world to decide. But there's a lot of great songs. And even the most, like I say, pop ones are about love and about a person's real feelings. And it's not calculated or formulated. I'm a kid and I've been doing this a long time. And it takes a lot of years to let go of all the things that can get in the way of what you really feel. And then your ability to perform it that way. And it's really sticking yourself out there, and it's an embarrassing, awkward feeling. But when you do it and it works, you're thinking, okay, this is great. Let's just keep doing it. And you know, try not to drink too much afterwards or whatever it takes.
Well, you found supreme backing vocalists too.
Yes, we did. We did.
You have this way of including all these elements.
I did. This time we got every step of the way we had planned that we're going to have everyone involved be the best. You know, we had this person, we took, okay, we got everyone, every step, including the artist who did the drawing, Johannes, legend in drawing album covers. And we thought, we're just going to keep the whole team as hot, you know, the best we can. Even the early on PR team, we had Total Assault, and we, everyone was top quality. And and you're talking about Leslie, right?
Yeah.
She was her and her gang was they are the singers for Joe Walsh, backing singer. Yeah. So they're a team. So, but we brought them into a different place where I wanted the full, like I said, Rocky Horror or whatever, Meatloaf sound, much bigger than just oohs and ahs and everything. So it's interesting how quickly they were able to do that. And the other producer, Nick Tembrook, is there was a gentleman named Pat Woodland. The other producer, Nick, is Juilliard classical music guy. So any kind of orchestration or any kind of thing like that, he's the expert on that. So that's what he brought into the record when we said, well, you know, we need that. And he said, oh yeah, we got Pat. We went down to Pat and they did all those vocals in one day.
Yeah, and nuances and all that stuff was very important in the song.
And it makes it sound, the sound I wanted got closer and closer every time one of those lucky breaks happened. And like I say, we, you know, everything was quick and it all happened and it came out good. And now we're talking about it. So that's really
I got to ask you about Bowie's brain, which starts off with a space oddity feel.
It does.
How did it spawn? And give me a little bit of, you know.
Have you seen the video? We sent you the video, right? Yeah, there's a video too on it now.
Yeah.
And it does, you know, so the idea of Bowie's brain is like there was a movie called Being John Malkovich.
Yes.
Right? And you go, somehow they get this tunnel in some house and they go in his brain. So, and I thought that's really cool. But for me, it was more like it was as an influence, as an influencer, you can't help but wonder what's in there. What is it about him that has influenced me? Mm. And what is it about me that mirrors whatever his influence on me was? And so the, how I, and so I thought I would just tell the story about, you can see I'm telling the story about, you know, I'm waking up and I'm in the spaceship and it's wrecked and I don't know what's going on now. And he's just kind of walking in a fog. And then I know a lot about his background and his friends and the time he traveled across the country in a limousine and the fact that he was really good friends with Iggy Pop, which is, I mentioned Jimmy Limo, and that's an actually reference to Iggy Pop. His name's Jimmy Osterman or whatever his name is. But so, you know, the whole thing is just tying together. There's a lot of depth in the simple words in these songs because there's a lot of real stuff that happened. I used to get my hair cut at the same place that Iggy was down there. And I used to talk with him years ago. And so it's interesting. Your world is full. My world is full of real instances of all this stuff that I'm talking about. And they're not just throw in, they're heavyweight moments throughout every song that has a lot to do with my experience in life. And then my knowledge about how it all ties together and then my feeling about it. And that song Bowie's Brain was just kind of a walk down that road for me. And
his life was very cinematic.
Yes,
right?
It was. He's a very amazing cinematic.
Always with the latest trends, like Mick Jagger. Always on it.
Yeah. And I love his guitar player. I mean, I was back in the other bands I had, the guitar player I had always, I made sure they looked just like Mick Ronson. And
Bowie loved the movies, you know, he tried to be in the movies himself. And just like I mentioned Jagger, same kind of thing.
Yeah.
But you definitely accomplished what you were trying to accomplish here. And congratulations with the album. Last question I want to ask is, will you be touring to support the album?
You know, we're on this leg right now where we're promoting and we're seeing where it's settling in and what's settling in. And as soon as we're a little more confident on where and how it's settling, the answer is, yeah, of course, I would love to be up performing these songs on stage, but you know, that's a whole part of it that has to be planned out based on input and all that. We're lucky that the songs are getting played and that there are good songs and that there's a story behind it. And that, I mean, you can see I am a Kelly Deco is a thing and it's and the band is a thing and they're real people. And we're just going to keep walking down the road. And I think the answer, simple answer is yes. You know, I'm ready to go as soon as everyone else is ready to go. Again, I'm with a company. Deco Records Deco Entertainment, excuse me, is a great company. And of course, Chipster PR is a great PR company.
And I would love to see this reimagined on stage, though.
Me too. I think that's the one thing why we always were thinking right away. We thought, God, we could do, you know, this could be a Rocky Horror thing.
Yeah, it could be.
We could easily do this. And then just go like that. So before that happens, I mean, we're down the road. That's down much further. But yeah, that would be a great fun thing to do, right? Because it all kind of fits into that. The songs start off, it's like you drop the needle and you go through the whole adventure of the record. And that would be the same thing on a stage. You go through the whole adventure on stage. And yeah, I'd look forward to doing that. Sure, we got to do that, of course. But I guess that's the answer. Yes.
Well, thank you, Kelly, for being
on the
Goldmine Podcast.
All right.
And listeners, don't forget to go to goldminemag.com to get exclusive content. Also, go to shop.goldminemag.com for exclusive product like vinyl. And Kelly, we'll be talking to you soon, I hope.
Yeah.
And I hope to see you on the road, man.
All right. If I'm there, I'll send you the limo to pick you up.
All right, dude.
Have a great one. Thanks. Bye.